Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network.
What's going on, everybody? It's your old buddy, Troy Lavallee. We have events on sale that I need to talk about. The new tour, Glass Cannon Live 2025 Ascension. Those tickets are on sale, we already said, for Dallas and Austin. We're coming to Dallas on February 21st, Austin on February 22nd. But now tickets are on sale for Milwaukee on March 21st and St. Paul on March 22nd. Those tickets are on sale as well, and you can get all of those tickets and or VIGCP packages at glasscannonnetwork.com/tour. In addition, Glass Cannon Network Retreat number 2 in Las Vegas to celebrate the 10th anniversary of the launch of the Glass Cannon podcast. Those packages went on sale just a couple weeks ago. We've already sold a ton of them, but there are still some left. I had said on the State of the Nation that prices would start around $3,000, which is obviously crazy high. This is a luxury item, but this is a very special and super expensive event. Well, we went back in, we crunched some numbers in the budget, threw some stuff out, put some stuff back in. We now have packages as low as $21.99 if you're sharing a room with somebody else. If you've got a friend you're going with and you've already paired up, you're all set. If you don't have a friend but you want to keep prices low, you can go to our subscription Discord. We have a channel called Roommate Finder Vegas. People from the nation are already pairing up because they do not want to miss this once-in-a-lifetime event where I'm going to try and get every single person from the Glass Cannon Network out there to just play games and hang out all weekend long. Those packages include a hotel stay from Thursday to Sunday. That's June 12th to 15th. 15th is the anniversary, of course. Breakfast buffets, cocktail party, open bar at night. It is going to be a very, very special weekend that I know everyone involved will not soon forget. If you're interested in purchasing packages, just head to glasscannonnetwork.com/retreat and get them while they are still available. There are payment installment plans available as well if you want to break up your payments over time. I hope you're able to come to the Glass Cannon Network Party of the Century. Either way, we hope to see you on tour this year. We're going to be all around the country once more. Me, Joe, Skid, Kate, Cindy, and all Maddie Caps. Glass Cannon Live, Ascension, and the Retreat. Best year ever? We'll see.
Cannon Radio with your hosts, Jared Logan and Joe O'Brien.
Oh, welcome back to Glass Cannon Radio. We are deep in the end zone, scoring a touchdown for our team.
Yeah, there he goes. Look at him, like an old pro, like an old sports ball pro.
It's draft day and Costner has the number 7 pick, buddy. I'm Jared Logan. This is Joe O'Brien beside me in the other little box. And this is the show where you get to call in and give your opinions on all things nerdy. And that includes the sport of American football.
Yeah! Super Bowl week, baby. Super Bowl week.
It's Super Bowl week. So if you want to call in and talk to us about all the topics, they're all lined up there on the... I don't know. They're all lined up there on the screen for you. If you want to talk to us, please come hang out and get on the Discord. Raise your hand, and we will call you to talk to us. And then if you're not a subscriber yet, if you're not a subscriber yet, go to jointhenation.com, become a subscriber. You can talk in today's show. You can become a subscriber that quickly and be part of the conversation. And boy, do we have a lot of great conversation to talk to you about today. But first, Joe O'Brien, you're so excited because your team, the...
Come on, buddy.
It's on the tip of my tongue.
Come on, buddy. The Philadelphia Eagles.
The Philadelphia Eagles are in the Super Bowl.
Yes, a very rare and precious thing, Jared. In my 40-some years of being alive, they've been here three times. I mean, four technically if you count the year I was not even 1 year old. But... three times ever has this happened, and so I'm very, very, very excited. It's a rare and precious thing to make it this far. You got to be good, and you got to get lucky. And here we are, all the way at the end, a championship. I'm curious why it baffles me that people cannot be into sports. I simply don't understand it.
I'm not.
I know. So, like, how do you miss out on the drama, the intensity, the passion? There's nothing like it in entertainment.
Football is unbelievably boring.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Well, that's fine.
All sports, except for maybe basketball, nothing happens for a long time, and then someone scores, and then everybody stops everything. It's because... Like, even trying to watch a basketball game, like, toward the end of the basketball game, they stop it. It feels like 10 times, and it keeps going to commercial. My memories are just of, like, waiting to watch a program I wanted to watch on Sunday night and waiting for the goddamn game to be over so I could watch some kind of sci-fi program or something.
Yeah, that's amazing. That makes sense. Well, I was born... into a place where it's ingrained in you from a young age. My whole family are huge Eagles fans. And yeah, this weekend is Super Bowl 59. And we'll see if we can stop the Kansas City Chiefs and Taylor Swift's boyfriend from winning three straight Super Bowls.
Oh, Taylor Swift's boyfriend's in the Super Bowl?
Wow. It's amazing that you don't know that, because that's just straight up pop culture, and you're way more into that than I am. So
I'm not into Taylor Swift. My God, what do I look like? Some sort of basic?
But it's not as if you can avoid it.
My tastes don't fall so pedestrian, Joe. I mean, like, truly, if you want me to care less, add Taylor Swift to football.
Well, I think you're a real outlier here. I think you're a real outlier in terms of American popularity. Taylor Swift only added to the juice for the rest of America.
One thing we can be sure of is that American high schools need to put all their money into football instead of their theater programs. Let's make sure that the money is funneled into football.
You know what? You know what? As soon as more people start paying more money for theater tickets than football tickets, they will. But that's on the audience. That's not the school's fault.
Right. Sure. Yeah, I mean, sports is great. You know, you don't really need to. It's a low bar for entry.
Yes,
you know,
like, that is true. That
anyone
is true.
Can watch an athlete and be like, okay, I get that was impressive, you know?
Right.
But people can't watch, you know, not everyone can watch, say, an incredible stand-up comedian immediately get the understanding and the nuance. Like, they'll be like, my sense of humor is more like, you know, Kevin Hart. Why is this guy talking about, you know,
Kevin Hart, who without a doubt will be at the Super Bowl? I guarantee you. Kevin Hart is.
Oh, really?
He's a big Eagles fan. And also, a big, big NFL ad guy and stuff, or at least betting apps. Anyway, we're getting off topic here. I'm excited for them Eagles. I hope everybody has fun Super Bowl plans. Call in if you want to talk Super Bowl. But otherwise, we've got a list of great, great nerdy topics to talk about today, which I'm really excited about.
If you want to talk about Super Bowl and you call in, I'm going to give you the business.
Just be ready. Just be ready.
I'm going to be joshing you. All right. Well, let us do get into it. So, the situation is that one of the biggest sci-fi shows, I'd say, in the last 10 years, The Expanse, based on the incredible novels by James S.A. Corey, otherwise known as Ty Frank and Daniel Abraham. The Expanse will be leaving, it's so weird, three seasons of it will be leaving Prime Video, I think today at 4 p.m. It may have been yesterday, but the three seasons, the seasons that were created on the Sci-Fi Show channel, will be leaving. The seasons that were created on Amazon will stay. And this is a saga. I think a lot of people have watched the show. A lot of people have read the novels. This is a saga that is beloved by fans. I think it's really cool. I must admit, I have only read the first novel and watched like the first season and maybe a half of the second season of the show. But I was really loving it and enjoying it. I just got into a car accident and was in a coma for several years and did not get to watch the rest of the show. And now I was like, I got to hurry and watch two seasons like before it disappears. But I wasn't able to do that, to be honest. But I do love it. And today we'd really love to talk about The Expanse to kick us off. And then we'll kind of talk about those streaming issues that are kicking our favorite shows off of streaming platforms we see them on, that are making them move, that are hiding them, keeping us from getting to them. Or maybe you think that streaming is the best thing that's ever happened, which, you know, you can make an argument that it is incredible in many ways. So we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But first, let's get into The Expanse. Joe, any thoughts on The Expanse before I give my thoughts at length with an air of expertise that I probably don't actually possess?
Absolutely, because I can keep it short. I don't have too much to say on this because I, like you, have not absorbed all that much of it. I'm excited to talk to callers and an exciting guest we're going to have here in a few minutes. We're going to have Skid Marr from the Glass Cannon Network come on
right.
And talk Expanse as well. Somebody who's a little bit more knowledgeable about the whole topic. But I read the first book when it was getting all the buzz. I read the first book and I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was fantastic. And I love a setting. I love a sci-fi setting that is contained within the solar system. I find that to be
right.
So interesting. And I also love the certain limits, the physics limits that are put on it that make it feel like real sci-fi. I really enjoy that aspect of it. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. Then I went to watch the show. I think it's a slightly unpopular opinion, but I thought it was terrible. It ruined the book for me, so much so that I didn't read the second book because I hated the show
right.
so much. Primarily, it all came down to acting. I thought the effects were good. I didn't think the writing was terrible. I thought the woman who – I can't remember the actress's name who plays Christian I can't remember her last name exactly, but she was terrific. But I felt like every other main actor was unbearably bad, in my opinion.
Interesting.
And I just sort of fell off of it. Then, after I gave up on the show after a couple years, I read the second book of the series when I was really in a sci-fi mood, and it was fantastic. So
yeah,
the books are good. I can't wait to like continue reading more of them, but I am a little bit inexperienced in the whole series, and I'd love to hear everybody's takes on it today.
I do get your problems with the show. After reading the first book, starting the show, it took me a little bit to get with the actors, and that's because the Sci-Fi Channel has a pretty face problem.
Yes.
The Sci-Fi Channel has to hire actors that are a tier or two below, like the person you really want. And that means, like, for some reason, everybody becomes more beautiful for some reason. Like, everybody is, like, extremely hot. And you're like, these are, like, aren't these, like, space miners? Like, like, what is happening to him, happening to these people that they are so beautiful? Have they taken genetic modifications? And so, yeah, it takes me a second to get over how hot they are, but I encourage you to try to dive back into the show, to give it some time, because they really, really grew on me.
Okay, cool. I'll try then, because the scenes I've seen of it, the clips I've seen of it, it looks like there's a lot of love put into making the show. Like the special effects, the look of everything feels very immersive. And I appreciate when a sci-fi show goes out and does that. And I don't mean the Sci-Fi Channel. I mean science fiction in general. It's hard to make a good science fiction show. You really don't get a lot of support, right, from general media and stuff like that. And it's great when they can be made. And so I am happy they made it. I was just disappointed with some of those choices. I'm going to say something real quick before we get to our guest today, which is you brought it up. You said the pretty factor escalates for some reason on sci-fi while the acting ability like slowly decreases. And the perfect example to me is Holden, the main character of the series, who is, in my opinion, terrible, at least in that first season. And it ruined the character for me because I thought he was gritty and I thought he was cool. And I thought that he was, I don't know, I could just level, like he was on my level as a character. I felt like I understood him. He had a good regular guy kind of vibe. And this guy was just bad. Now, the actor, who I don't know his name, was in a fantastic movie that I don't know if you've ever seen. Have you ever seen City Island?
I haven't, actually.
It's a very under-the-radar movie that I think is fantastic, and I highly recommend you check it out. It is an Andy Garcia movie with the woman from ER, Juliana Margulies. It's right Andy on. Garcia and Juliana Margulies, slice-of-life movie set in New York City, and it's got Ezra Miller. Ezra Miller? Is that his name?
Yeah. The Flash?
Yes, one of his earlier roles. He's fantastic. And this guy, the guy who plays Holden, is in it, and he plays a hot, dumb dude. And he's amazing. Like, he's a very minor character, and the thing is that he is so hot. Like, that's his thing. And he does great at that. When you put him in this role to carry a sci-fi series, I was just like, I can't do it. I can't do it.
So, that actor's name is Stephen Strait. And Steven, if you are listening, Joe, not a fan.
Didn't like season one. Like season one.
But let's talk about what's great about The Expanse. I think we should talk about a little bit about what's great about it. Absolutely. So you brought up it takes place in our solar system, and a ton of the technology, the advancements are based on real life science, making this a hard science fiction show. So you know hard science fiction versus soft science fiction, Joe. You know the distinction there?
I think so. I feel like the hard science fiction really seems where the writers, creators, whomever is making it, really seems to lean on actual known science,
right,
and where the development we think could go, and also puts the limits of known physics on their world so that you don't just hand wave things like gravity. Right.
Like, exactly. That's a perfect example from The Expanse.
Or like relativity. Like you're not just like hand waving those things.
The gravity thing is like one of the things The Expanse does with the most kind of hard science fiction approach, which is, you know, the gravity in the ships is based on their thrust and I don't know, the rotation of different parts of them. That's why when you see the Rocinante, it sort of has like a spinning part or whatever. But instead of just having like what Star Trek has, which is just like gravity generators or like gravity plating. How does that work? No one knows. Of course, we also don't know how the Epstein drive in The Expanse works exactly. Some parts of The Expanse aren't super hard, but a lot of it is. And that makes it different, I think, because so much of the sci-fi we've gotten is pretty soft, you know, and that's a moving line, you know, like people argue about what's hard science fiction, what's soft science fiction. But I think we can agree that like something like Star Wars is on the far other end where it could almost be just pure fantasy. Like the Force is kind of magic, you know, the creatures and situations. I mean, they use goddamn swords, you know, so. You know, the fact that The Expanse really tries to base its entire world, its entire setting on real science is one of the things I love the most about it.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And I think I tend to lean toward hard sci-fi in the science fiction books that I enjoy. And I could talk more about those later, but yeah, I want to stay on The Expanse for now. And I don't know that much about it, but you know who does? Our good friend, and good buddy, Skid Marr, who has been an Expanse fan for a very long time. And I wanted to have him on today to talk a little bit about it. And we'll take calls while Skid is here and shit like that. So it'll be great. If you want to come up, talk to Skid. You guys can have a little Expanse powwow. I'm going to invite you, Skid, to speak on Discord. So join there and unmute your mic, and then we'll add you here on video. We should get this all rolling.
Skid Marr!
Skid!
Hello!
Oh, there he is. What's up, buddy?
What's up? How's it going?
It's going great. Thank you for taking the time to just come over and hang out with us on Glass Cannon Radio, dude.
Thank you for asking. I'm a big fan of the show. I've seen every episode. I actually do love this show. I really enjoy watching it. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. I appreciate it. So my first memories of you with the Expanse are when you brought the Expanse board game into the studio many years ago, pre-COVID, and I think at this time you were heavily into the show. So before we get into anything else, why don't you just talk to us about how you came into watching or reading it first, and what your initial impressions were.
I can't remember how I heard. I came into it through the show. I can't remember how I initially heard about the show, but it sounded really interesting. I must have seen some trailers or something, and it was just like. But I was very intrigued by the hard sci-fi like aspect of it. It seemed like pretty gritty, very serious, and I knew like Shora Ogdashlu was in it, and she is an Oscar winner. It's like, that's awesome. And I had also heard that, of course, my very good friend Jared Harris was
yes.
in it.
Yes, right.
So that was like, from Beverly Hills Cop and Breaking Bad, Jonathan Banks mm-hmm. is in the first episode. So for me, I'm a big like actor performer junkie. And so for me, like that's a green flag for me. I see someone with that sort of power over the projects that they can choosing to do, like especially a sci-fi project. That to me is like it's a pretty good sign. I'd be like, I'm in, and I absolutely fell in love with it like immediately. And I did end up reading the first book.
So your first intro was the show. Then you went back to and read the first book. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought the book and the show were pretty well aligned. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Like, I know in the show they brought in elements that are in book two a little bit earlier just to get the politics cooking. But overall, isn't it like pretty blow by blow, the first book and the first series? Like, they don't seem to change too much. I think it was a good adaptation.
I think it was pretty close. The nice thing about the book is that it fills in a lot of the like anthropological details that are amazing that I was really hungry for. So,
My favorite little cultural thing in The Expanse that's so real is Basic Assistance. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Half the people on Earth are just on like basically super welfare and they're not allowed to have kids, but they could even go to machines to get clothes if they need clothes. And they have to eat like protein paste or something like that.
Yeah. And the Martians have total contempt for them for that reason.
Yeah.
Because they're driving themselves to like forge this new society on this planet. And they look at the people on Earth as just like sitting around like collecting money from the government. And this is the distinction there is just like it's very fun.
Would you go on basic assistance listeners? That's what I would like to know. Callers, in addition to whatever you want to say about The Expanse. Yeah.
I do want to talk to Skid a little bit more about like kind of the length and depth of the series, but I want to get to callers as soon as possible just because I want to get some of their takes on it. We'll take you here while Skid is here. So again, if you want to talk on the show, you got to join the Discord, the Glass Cannon Network Discord. You can go to jointhenation.com to link your Discord to your subscription. And if you're not subscribed, you can subscribe for free using code GCN30. So hop on and join us. We're going to go right here to a friend of mine. Let's get an Eagles fan up here first. A WIP caller, please come to the stage. Your mic is muted. Once you unmute that, you should be able to talk. WIP caller, you're on the line.
Yo, O'Brien.
Oh, dear.
What's up, buddy?
What's up, dude?
Okay.
You ready for Sunday, man?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Jesus.
You ready to go? Saquon Barkley, man. Dude. Yes. The polls are greased. The copy of Inner Excellence is red. We
the
are
polls are greased. What the hell does that mean?
You don't even know, Jared.
I don't want to.
The polls, baby. Grease the polls.
My poll, I tell you right now, my poll is exceedingly dry.
one will be climbing it.
WIP caller, do you have any thoughts on The Expanse? I know you're a big sci-fi guy. Did you read it? Do you watch it? Or are you just calling about the birds?
No, actually, you know what? It's ironic. I've read all 8 books. I think there's 7 or 8. Read all of them. And the series sucked ass. Not the whole series, but that first season.
The TV series. The TV series
actor,
you had.
Yes, the TV series with that actor that played Holden. I could not stand him either. That is just something about it. He was just a terrible actor. And the guy that played Amos, I thought was completely miscast. This Amos dude is supposed to be an older guy that's like squat, strong, emotionless. And this dude played him like a crazy eyes killer kind of dude. You know, it just was just like completely different from the character.
The books are different from the movies, you know, like that happens or from the TV series that are based on them. So I think sometimes it can be jarring when we see a TV series because it's not exactly the way we planned it, you know? Everyone is way more fuckable, and that confuses us because it gives us confusing sexual feelings.
But you said you read all 8 books.
Yeah,
and,
I did.
But you said only that you pointed out the first season of the TV show. Did it grow on you over time?
You know, I watched, I think it was one of those shows I would put on, as I was doing other things, it wasn't like a dial in and watch every minute type of show for me, since I already knew generally what was going to happen.
Yeah.
It got interesting because obviously things happen later in the series. I won't get into spoilers, but I was curious to see what they looked like on television, frankly, the way they portrayed some interesting things that developed with the series. So, So I did watch it. I continued. It bothered me less and less, but up front, as I was trying to get into it at first, it really was kind of jarring with it. And it was exactly what you said. The acting was just not what I would have expected for a series like that. So anyway, I did like it. I thought it was, the books were great. It gets very different.
I just want to say, this is classic nerd fandom. I hated that TV series. I did watch all of it.
Exactly.
Are the books like done? Are there more books?
It's
coming?
A done series as far as I'm concerned. The ending is one where they could come back to this, I think, but I don't foresee
like
that.
It did end.
Yeah, I felt like it ended pretty clearly. And, you know, the ending is, you know, kind of cool. I don't know. Maybe some people may roast me for that, but I liked it. So.
Isn't it great when things have an end?
Thanks for the call, dude. I appreciate it. Love to get some more people up here, too, so to talk Expanse before we move on.
And by the way, you can add spoilers, everybody. Like, this is a go-ahead-and-spoil conversation, you know?
Yeah, it's an open convo. I feel like you had your chance. If you're not into the Expanse, you're not into it. But, Skid, before we get on to somebody else, how do you feel about the it being pulled off of Prime? Is this something that you, like, would love to be able to rewatch? You're frustrated that this is happening. Is that, the licensing thing?
Yeah, I heard about it and I was definitely bummed. I mean, I've been holding out hope that they would be end up making more of it. I don't know why. It's especially frustrating when they're willing to throw $1 billion at fucking garbage like Rings of Power. Okay. And they can't
All
make
right,
any
careful,
more
Skid.
Seasons of The Expanse. That's just really gets my goat. So yes,
take
that does
half
like bother
of the
me.
Rings of Power budget, put it in The Expanse.
There we go. That's all I'm asking. That's all.
Jeff
I'm asking.
Bezos is too busy ruling us.
Right. Let's focus on the important shit. Do it. It's like it drives me up the wall. So yes, I wish there were more. And it's a show that I do love rewatching. It's funny because one of the things that I do that scratches my Expanse itch is playing the game Terra Invicta, which I've streamed a couple times on the channel. Very Expanse sort of themed. and I'll have like the Expanse running on another screen while I'm playing that game. And it's like, that's great for me. Like I love being able to do that. So yeah, it's
fun.
I want it to be as widely available as possible for as long as possible. And it's a bummer.
You can get it on physical media, which is something we should talk about when we get into our kind of licensing discussion in a minute.
Corp Donk on Twitch chat says, how many Expanse seasons are there?
Six
seasons.
So that's a lot. That's a lot of TV. Like I said, I couldn't hurry and finish the seasons that are disappearing. I didn't have time.
Let's take another caller. Let's get Herbader to the stage. Herbader, a frequent chat participant. What's up, Her?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, it's going good. Great. How are you?
I'm all right. Just, getting a little high to get over the president threatening to annex part of the Middle East.
Yeah.
Also topical. Not so much covered in this show. But
do you think that'll happen, or do you think he was just talking out his ass? You know, he never talks out of his ass, so it's going to happen.
That's exactly what he means, right?
So that's you're high right now?
Yeah, because I have a weird work
what
schedule.
What time zone are you in?
Eastern.
Get your shit together, man.
Listen, I work 12-hour day weekends, so Monday through Thursday are mine to do what I want.
Wow.
Okay,
Monday
right on.
Monday through Thursday off. Okay.
What do you where you only work on weekends?
Cloud IT engineer.
Nice. Nice. Okay. What do you have to say about The Expanse? Tell us your thoughts.
So I love The Expanse. Read all 8 books. I think I finished book 8 toward the beginning of last year. Talking about the hard sci-fi and like the difference between Earthers and people on Mars, there's a moment from the books that like really teaches you kind of like the difference in mindset and how little they understand each other. The character Bobby is from Mars, and she is this hardcore badass Marine. And she visits Earth for the first time. And, you know, she is trained through all these like invade Earth simulations and scenarios. And she gets there and she feels the gravity and she sees the ocean. And she's like, oh, shit, we never had a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that in book 2? Do you recall? Because
I know Bobby was introduced in book 2, but I want to say this is 3 or 4.
Oh, okay. Because I definitely remember that character. And I thought that I remembered that, but maybe I'm just projecting that now that you say it. But the character was awesome. I really liked that character.
Yeah, the character of Bobby is one of my favorite in the series.
Yeah, Apple Tart on Twitch chat says it is book 2. Awesome. Yeah, those sort of elements are fan. You know, I go back to Stranger in a Strange Land. I think about when I read that book many, many, many years ago, how amazing it is for an author to be able to look at Earth as someone who has never seen or been on Earth. It's really an impressive thing to do if you think about it. And the way that Stranger in a Strange Land opened my eyes to so many things that, you know, we sort of feel are just an innate part of humanity that everyone knows and gets. It's an interesting thing to explore. And the character doing that through the character Bobby is awesome. So Herbader, you like the show?
I actually only watched 2 seasons of the show. I could tell it was a good show, but like my mind kept like clashing with what I knew of the books, and I had to stop. Because I was also ruining it for my wife, because I'm like, that doesn't happen until book 4.
Yeah.
Just being an asshole.
Well, do you think Herbader, sorry, I didn't mean to mispronounce your very real name.
That's how you pronounce it in Spanish.
Oh, very good. So I've also offended Spanish speaking people. Herbader, do you think some of the things that happen in The Expanse will happen in our actual world? Will we settle the solar system? Will we develop these technologies? As a weekend IT guy, I think you're qualified to answer this.
Ignoring the alien particle, you know, probably the part where people live out miserable lives mining asteroids and getting mistreated by major corporations. Yeah, that'll probably happen.
Yeah. I think you're onto something there. Thanks for calling in, Herbiter. Good to hear your voice, man. Good to hear your voice. Always see your name in chat, and thank you for watching and supporting and hanging out. So I want to get more callers in here before we start switching, because there is, like, God, so much to talk about on the Expanse. Alex asked to speak. Hello. Alex?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hey, Alex.
Hi,
what's
Alex.
Going
How
on?
You doing?
You know, living life. I was actually just rewatching The Expanse because a friend is doing a research project on imprisonment in science fiction. And there's this great plot. It's more in the books than in the show, but with the character Clarissa, if you remember her.
I don't remember.
I don't know if you might not have gone to her, but she's gotcha. She's the daughter of the insane evil billionaire. Does anybody Skid's got to know who I'm talking about?
What?
We lost Skid temporarily. You're good. Keep going.
Yeah, this character basically gets these illegal hormone implants installed to, you know, commit some terroristic crimes, and gets arrested, and she has to be put in like a special underground prison because the Earth government doesn't believe in the death penalty, and they also can't legally force her to remove the implants. So there's just like a great bit of, like, I don't know, future politics of Earth society.
Yeah, that I didn't know about that. That's interesting as well. Like, thinking about how you would deal with, like, the whole penal system once you're so crazy overcrowded and on multiple different worlds, and how the different laws interact. And what do we know about again? And thanks for the call, Alex. What do we know about the authors of the books?
This is a great thing to bring up, because one of them is Daniel Abraham, who's a really accomplished sci-fi and fantasy writer.
You know what's crazy? And I've seen his name attached to this as through the pseudonym, and didn't put together until we're live on this show who that is. I've just never put together that he's written fantasy series that I've read.
Have you read The Long Price Quartet?
I definitely didn't read all four. If I did, I got to remember the first book title. I'll bring it up here. But yeah, keep going.
Well, he's amazing. Fantastic. I mean, next level, like, underrated. And then the other guy is Ty Frank, who I believe was George R.R. Martin's assistant for a while, and helped him with a lot of stuff. And Ty Frank based the Expanse novels on his home TTRPG campaign.
Really? I heard that as a rumor. Yeah. He has said that in interviews or something?
I am saying it now, Joe. That's what I saw online. I am a journalist first, and I did call him personally, and he confirmed it to me.
I think it was a Traveler campaign. I don't know if that ever was confirmed, but that was what I heard too.
Yeah, I heard a rumor that it was a Traveler campaign. It was The Dragon's Path. That's what I read from Daniel Abraham. The first book of, I think, The Dagger and Coin.
Dagger and Coin. I haven't read that. I've read The Long Price Quartet. So
I read The Dragon's Path, and it was good. It was just very solid. Really good stuff. It's very cool to see, like, the way that this came together, and obviously the writers who are very passionate about what they're doing and in writing a hard sci-fi that's set in our solar system with the limits that we have.
It's also cool when there's like a duo of writers writing like a series. Is it Niven and Pornell that write The Moten God's Eye?
Yeah.
I always think that's interesting, and I wonder what that kind of collaboration is like. But obviously with The Expanse, it was extremely successful, and they've created something that, I mean, you know, whatever you think of the show, The Expanse is now all time, like, one of the greatest sci-fi series ever.
Yeah, yeah. Does anybody ever ask them about their process? Like, about how, like, did one of them write one book, another one write another book? Do one of them write a chapter, or, you know what I mean? Or you know?
I think they go paragraph by paragraph. So
yeah, I'm curious about that process, because, as you said, it's an extremely rare thing right? I mean, yeah. You take all the books, especially novels, fiction that are out there written, like, it's usually one person. You need one person's clear vision and writing style to do it. And so I'm curious how they work together on it. But I enjoyed some of those. McD turned me on to those back in the day, the Niven and Pornell books. Footfall, I think that's one of theirs. Footfall was really good.
Yeah. Having written a screenplay with my wife, I can tell you that they probably fought a lot while they were writing this.
It seems like it would be a challenging thing.
That's actually funny because I followed the James S.A. Corey account on Twitter for a while early on when I first started watching the show, but I stopped because whoever was running it was really aggressive, kind of mean actually, and I was just like, this is bumming me out. So I stopped. So I don't know what, man, it had to like wear on the relationship, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Kind of mean.
If you're aggro on Twitter or X or Discord, maybe social media is not for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That said, there should be no negative comments about this show on the Discord, no. Or you will be booted from the Discord server, and McD is part of this show, and he will know.
Your subscription is immediately revoked.
I'm on it.
Thanks, McD. Thanks, buddy. What else did Larry Niven and Pornell do? Larry Niven did Ringworld, I think.
I love Ringworld.
Ringworld's great. I don't think great Pornell series. Was on that one. Great stuff. God, I love those old sci-fi books. That's what first got me into sci-fi, you know, reading those things in like the 90s. That's great stuff. Let's bring up K-Rob here. K-Rob, longtime friend of the GCN. K-Rob, I've invited you to speak. There he is. What's up,
hello,
dude?
My friend.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great. Good. It's going great. How are you doing?
I'm great. Just got off work.
Really?
Are you also high?
I work. No, I'm not. I work at 2 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Wednesdays.
2 a.m. to 10 a.m.
Yeah.
Are you a security guard for a museum?
No, definitely not. Okay.
I'm going to imagine that you
are. I work
at
a grocery store and today's our ad day. So that's our. Yeah. So
your ad day. What is an ad day?
Where all like the prices change for the new advertisements and stuff like that.
Oh,
so
wow.
You got to be in there at 2 a.m. to start that turnover so it's all ready. But what time does the store actually open? 7?
6.
6.
Yep, yeah, they want it done by 7. I got done at 9 a.m. today, so it was a rough day.
Oh, man. Well, I'm glad you're able to join us here.
That you can come and relax with us. Now, tell us your opinion of The Expanse. I disagree!
So I watched the show first, and it was one of those... because there's a couple of shows that were like, I start a show, and then I immediately want to like continue watching it. Like, Stranger Things was that way. Rings of Power was not that way. And I literally realized I was watching a couple of episodes and realized I had work in an hour. I was like, I hadn't even slept that night. I've done that
before.
You were
like, oh my God, it's almost 2 a.m.
I got to get going.
So yeah.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the show and didn't have, like, the other people said they didn't like season one because they had read the book first. I had none of that. I was immediately hooked. I didn't really notice any bad acting in that first season. I thought it was a great sci-fi show. And I watched the entirety of it, but I'm currently in the middle of book 8 on the book. Mm-hmm. On Audible.
Okay, you're on the last book then.
Yes. So I got.
Are they good on Audible? Did they have a good narrator?
The narrator is awesome. His name is Jefferson Mays. And one of the coolest things was, I think it was the book 7, where a character who doesn't know who Amos is talking to Amos. And just by the way he acted with Amos, I was like, oh, that's Amos. Mm. Like, cool. He's excellent.
That might be how I take in the rest of the books, because I've really gotten into audiobooks lately, and I can especially something that's like very action packed, I feel like works very well for audiobooks for me.
Yeah. Yeah. He's excellent. He's an excellent narrator.
Awesome.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Kara, for calling.
Are you going to go on basic assistance? Are you going to go on basic assistance when we get
God, it? I hope not.
You'd be able to sleep at night, though.
Yeah.
Hey!
That would be nice.
Yeah, you wouldn't have to get up at 1 a.m. to go to work. Thanks for calling in, buddy, and please keep doing it.
Hey, Rob.
K-Rob! You know, it brings up an interesting, I think we can kind of transition here based on the audiobook idea is another whole aspect, especially Audible, etc., of this idea of streaming services sort of controlling the media that we are able to consume, right? So when this Expanse news came up, Jared and I talked off air with McD about it. And McD's first thing was, you know, this brings into question really the whole way that we consume media now and its ownership and its licensing and its leasing, et cetera. And I'm curious, Jared, what some of your thoughts are kind of out of the gate on this model that we're now all seemingly locked into, like without a real choice for how we own and consume media.
So streaming platforms as a way of consuming media are complete goddamn horseshit. they ruin the experience in myriad unconnected ways. So there's one way to hate it, and then there's a whole other way over here reason to hate it. I could go on and on about it, but let me say a couple things. First of all, when you stream something, and this could be a game on Steam, or it could be a movie you buy on Apple, you don't own that media. You own a license to watch the media, which is so ridiculous. I wish they would send me a card in the mail, like with my photo on it and everything. And so if you move to another country, for example, this is the biggest example. If you don't have that license in another area, then if you don't have it in Canada, for example, you just can't watch it. That's ridiculous. Another thing that's ridiculous is that, you know, you don't find the things that you want to find. The streaming platforms, the corporations that are running them are manipulating what you watch. And I read one thing that said that there was a study done that, you know, the things that get the most views are the things with like the thumbnail placed in a certain place. And sometimes, especially for genre fans like us, if we're looking for something that really appeals to us, we can't find it. Like, you know, it feels like on a lot of the streaming platforms, maybe I'm acting like an old fogey, maybe some callers will disagree, feels like the search function's hidden. Feels like the browse by genre is hidden from you. They want you to watch the thing that they're pushing right now. Mm-hmm. And so they're kind of manipulating what we watch. I don't know. I mean, I could go into more stuff, but I'm interested what and Skid and the callers think.
Yeah, I'll comment on that one angle real quick, which I agree with you. I don't agree with you about it just being awful top to bottom, but I do agree with you that like it does feel suspiciously like those things are kind of hidden or hard to get to. And I don't think that's just like an old man thing at all. I feel like you are, you know, you're in a situation where you're being recommended these things. And it's not until you sign in with someone else's profile that you'll suddenly be like, holy shit, like I didn't even know some of this stuff was on here. And it's stuff that I would love to watch, right? So just because I watch A, B, and C, the algorithm is spitting out, well, now you like D, E, and F and don't like M.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And I don't, I that sucks.
It's hard to discover things, really. It's hard to discover things that the algorithm hasn't decided for you. Joe, have you ever gone to like an old right wing person's house and turned on their Netflix?
Yes.
It's a completely different. You're like, You're like, tractor pull immigrant hunters? That's a show?
Yeah. I mean, it is completely, completely different. And, you know, I'm just amazed at how many things I really enjoy that are not suggested to me by the algorithm. Things I would really enjoy. Skid, do you share in Jared's opinion here on streaming services in general being awful?
Yeah, I think... going back to like thinking when it started streaming, where it's just like, oh, it's possible to stream a high quality like video stream of a movie or a show over the internet. It's like, that's amazing. That's still to me pretty cool, but the model is fucked. I'm a big physical media guy. As a matter of fact, I just ordered this. I just got the Steelbook of Perfect Blue.
Perfect Blue. On a Blu-ray. Awesome.
That came yesterday. So oh, nice. I love
You're
actually
still buying
owning
Blu-rays.
Yeah, I've and like 4K. I'm a big fan of that. I do love the convenience of being able to just stream stuff on like different, you know, screens and everything. Yeah, the interface for like a lot of the streaming services is really bad. I feel like there's too many ads when it's just like you're already paying through the nose for either something you already own or like the subscription fee. So I'm a big believer. I want to try to keep physical media alive, do my part to do that because I'm a big fan of that.
I also will say, I think binging is horse shit. I don't think people should binge. I don't think you really take in a show if you watch 4 or 5 episodes in a row. You need to slow down. Watch an episode. Think about that episode for a little while. You know what I mean? Like,
talk
also,
to your
like,
friends about it.
Yeah, talk to your
you
friends yeah. about it.
That's why most of the services terrible. Are moving away from that. They're doing a week like Severance, which I wish they released all at once because I'd love to watch the entire thing in one sitting. But it's better for the show if like you can build like sort of this, especially with a mystery show like that, where it's just like you could build this sort of like theorizing and get some like sort of cultural kind of momentum going over the span of like a weekly broadcast instead of, you know, being able to dumping it all at once. I do think it's better for like media is to do it.
Not only that, but people complain. I'm not so much of a spoiler person where I hate spoilers, but people complain that people can binge the whole season in 2 days and then they're putting spoilers up online, you know, and ruining some of the plot twists for other people. So, yeah, binging is just not good. I'm just not for it. No. Maybe some callers disagree.
Yeah, I'm curious to see if there's any caller out there that has anything positive to say about the convenience of streaming. Corvus Duskwalker, what do you have to say on the subject? Corvus, are you here? Corvus? No? We'll try again. How about Jimmy T? Jimmy T?
Hey,
would you like to join? Oh, there's Corvus. There's Corvus.
Hey, Corvus.
What's up?
Welcome.
Corvus?
Nice to talk to you guys again. But yeah, as far as streaming services are concerned, like I was talking about this with somebody recently, and it the idea of like nostalgia came, right? And one of the things that I discovered is that like people who were born around when I was have this weird relationship with nostalgia where we want modern conveniences, but we also want the things that those modern conveniences have killed. We want a Netflix and an Amazon Prime and all that. We also would like to like hit up a movie store. It's like I want my PS5, but I also want an arcade that doesn't suck. Things of that nature.
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, I like all of my, I like all of my movies and everything. And I like being able to rent stuff and stream stuff and everything. But, third locations are wildly falling apart. But yeah. As far as how I feel the services go, yeah, the interface, as you guys brought up, kind of blows. I am kind of pro binging, not to get at Jared.
What do you like about binging?
Okay, so I have difficulty at sometimes like maintaining a plot thread in my head for a long period of time, especially if it's like a deep mystery or political intrigue. Like, for example, like The Expanse, which I actually haven't finished, but you know, The Expanse or Jack Reacher, which is a big mystery show, which is really good. But things like that, like
where you need to tie together a lot of threads, it kind of helps right. to like not forget
Lincoln Lawyer, details. This is a big legal drama, and I'll be like, wait, who was that again? Who is this person?
I would argue though, when you watch them all back to back, and then you're done, you don't retain any of it. Like I would say, a week later, you wouldn't know what the mystery was. You know. Whereas I feel if I watch something week to week, I kind of like I get that recap at the beginning of each episode and I retain the information about the plot better. But you're saying no.
It, you know, different strokes for different folks and all that. I mean, there are some shows that are just not meant to be binged, like The Boys, for example. I had a friend of mine come over every week after The Boys would air. We didn't watch it together because that felt weird. But he'd be like, hey, did you catch the new episode of The Boys? And our discussion about it would be like, yep, sure did. And it's like, did you enjoy it? Not even a little bit, but we still were, but it was still a great show. Which is not an enjoyable show, but it was really good.
So not meant to be binged because it would be too traumatizing. That show gets pretty dark.
It's just too much, man. It's just too much.
Shake your heavy, man. Yeah.
Yes. Like there's a warning.
We originally thought about naming this show The Boys.
well, I mean,
where Joe and I are the titular boys, and McD are the titular boys.
Well, there you go.
Corvus, thanks for calling. Yeah, it's I do think that there are positive benefits to the binging aspect. I think that, however, like you said, retaining is really important. One of my favorite traditions during the height of Game of Thrones TV, which for me was, you know, seasons 1, 2, 3, you know, kind of, you know, in that range, you could go into 4 as well, was just I would watch it. I'd have like a watch party, have people over, watch it, and then I would rewatch the previous week's full episode right before the next episode. And I've never done that with any other show, but there was just so much detail, so much going on, and I found that it was more fun to watch the second time. So I would, you know, always have that kind of ritual. So it would be a 2-hour experience every night where I'd rewatch the one from a week ago and then watch the new one as a way to try to keep on board. But I think if you were just watching them all back to back, yeah, you'd lose a lot of detail there.
Yeah. I mean, I would say also like streaming platforms have led to this thing with TV shows where there are 12 episodes, but there are about 6.5 to 7 episodes of actual good story, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, the biggest perpetrator of this was when that documentary came out about the NXIVM sex cult. And you pretty much had every bit of information you needed in the first 2 episodes. And then it just kept going for like 6. And I felt like some of the Marvel Netflix shows were like that, you know, Jessica Jones or whatever. Like they just kept going and they didn't have the story that they needed. And I think sometimes these streaming platforms say you need to make this many episodes and it just doesn't need to be. It just doesn't need to be that long.
How much are we sort of just like shouting stupidly into the void here? I know.
We are entirely shouting stupidly like, into the void.
Is there anything that can be done? You're right. Like,
you know,
is
what
there
we can
any
do?
Any potential for the?
Here's what we can do. Just stop subscribing to every service, which we all fucking do. We all subscribe to all of them, and then it equals what our old cable bill used to equal, maybe more. And go back to buying some physical media, which gets harder and harder because less people are selling Blu-ray players anymore. Like, but like, get one and buy Blu-rays, you know, of things that you like and watch them that way. And then you actually own them and it won't disappear from your cabinet unless you loan it to your friend Ryan, who won't give it back, even though he's had it for a goddamn year. And if you've lost it, you're buying me a new copy.
I have an interesting story on that not on that specific topic, but on a DVD player slash Blu-ray player, which just came up in my life within the last few days. But before that, I want to get another caller in here. Nikki, can you come to the stage? Are you there on the old Discord? Nikki.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. So I was just thinking about like the region locking stuff.
Yeah, that's another big aspect of this. Yeah.
I lived and worked in Australia for 3 months and I made the mistake of starting a new show.
Oh.
And then time came to move back home and nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
Or at least it wasn't on the same streaming platform.
Do you ever think about maybe getting on a plane and going back to Australia, getting a hotel and just finishing the show?
But then she'd have to binge, Jared. And she'd have to binge.
Right?
This
exactly.
is the one case Catch where 22. Binging would be okay.
If you flew to Australia just to get a hotel room, just to binge a show that only airs there.
Well, no, stay for 8 weeks and just stay and live in the hotel. Just force yourself the discipline to watch one episode every week.
I really just like to imagine Nikki. I like to imagine Nikki at the Continental Breakfast bringing up the show to strangers.
Well, it's funny. I found out about Glass Cannon while I was in Australia. So thankfully, you guys aren't region locked. So.
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yeah. We prefer to be international. We love our Aussie crew.
I'm region expansive. I like to experiment with other regions.
And continuing off with the expanse. I'm real bummed because it was on my to-watch list, and I didn't realize it was on Prime, again, with the algorithm thing. I didn't realize it, and now I can't.
Yeah, it's just, well, yeah, the whole situation is brutal, and thanks for calling, Nikki. Nikki also reminds me of, like, what's the show? Skid, what's the fantastic Ricky Gervais show?
Extras.
Isn't that one like you can't get?
Yeah, it's been gone for a while. It's been inaccessible for.
It's not on Max.
No.
Yeah, and it's just like, at least the last time I checked into it, probably a year or more ago, you couldn't get it anywhere. Like you couldn't even buy it anywhere. And I really wanted to see it because I had seen maybe a couple highlight scenes on YouTube, but like Matthew raves about it, Skid raves about it. I really wanted to check it out. You can't get it. Which to me is just, that's a wild thing about the way the licensing works for media. You know, these people are deciding what is even available. It's on Peacock now?
Yeah.
It's on Peacock. Oh, that's amazing. The other thing that's so bizarre. Wasn't that an HBO show originally?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if they produced it, but it was on HBO originally.
Okay, so it was on HBO, and then you're like looking for it. I mean, I know you can Google Just Watch and that will like let you know where things are. But the weird thing where they're all selling shows to each other now is so goddamn bizarre. Like, it's so odd.
There's no brand identity anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know.
But what about the aspect of, just to play devil's advocate? We love devil's advocate on this show, right? What about, you know,
great movie.
The sheer, yeah. Where is that stream?
Anytime you can get Keanu Reeves. What about, anytime you can get Keanu Reeves to do an accent, you're in good hands.
I'm going to play devil's advocate after this on my Blu-ray player.
Nice. Oh, yeah. I wanted to tell you my DVD story, my Blu-ray story. Last Friday night, I was a big night here in the O'Brien household. My wife had a girls' weekend thing at the mountains where she was going away for a couple nights. So I had the kids solo. And all week, I had hyped up that Friday night was the night we were going to watch Star Wars for the first time.
Oh.
Star Wars, A New Hope. My kids are, They're 8-6, and I have kept them completely unexposed to the Star Wars universe. We don't do Lego Star Wars. They don't do TV shows. I haven't done any of it because I was like, I want to wait first. You have to watch A New Hope, and we'll go from there. And I felt like they were old enough. I felt like they're ready. And so I was very excited. So we sit down, and of course, I'm like, you know what's so great? This is just on Disney Plus. Also, and here's where that brand identity is like getting ingrained into kids from a young age. As soon as I, like, my daughter was like hemming and hawing about it a little bit, and she's like, I want to watch this other movie I already like, you know. And I was like, well, you know, I brought up Disney Plus to watch it, and she was like, oh, it's Disney Plus? Well, now I'm interested. Now I'll watch it.
Because I enjoy that corporation.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And so
I was the same way as a kid. I was a huge NBC guy. I was a big NBC advocate.
Well, must see TV. You know, the best thing about the Disney Plus Star Wars is that it's the version that Lucas fixed.
Right.
Because the original was so terrible, and then
he put in the
real aliens and the real way it was supposed to look, and now it's better.
So this was the downside, right? But I feel like, I should have this fixed by Empire. But for Star Wars, it's like, this is my only option. I'm just going to go with this, and I want them to see it. So we start it. 25 minutes in, it's connecting. They're getting it. Now, I have to explain very basic concepts, like what an empire is and what a rebellion is, right? Like, I sort of have to explain that, but then they get it, and we're moving along. 25 minutes in, boom, my entire house blacks out. Lose power.
What?
Entirely. This is not a normal happening around me. There is no storm, no wind, no snow, nothing. My whole block is just out of power. It's like, what? And I'm like, I can't believe this is happening when we're going to watch Star Wars. We go 2 hours without power. I've got flashlights out. We're playing card games and stuff, passing the time, hoping it'll come back on at some point. And it does about 2 hours later. So now we're getting late into the evening. Maybe I shouldn't watch it, but I'm like, screw it. We're committed to doing this tonight. We're watching it. I start watching it again. And every 5 minutes, my internet drops. Which is also not a usual occurrence. But this brings up the whole other aspect of this discussion, which is not only do you have the services, not only do you have the licensing issues, but everything is relying on your internet. Like, mm-hmm. keep that in mind too. Like, if that goes down, if that gets fouled up, if some if company's messing that up, you also lose access to all the media that you've purchased or are even monthly licensing as a subscription. So all of a sudden I was just like, this is so frustrating. And I was like, wait a minute. And I literally got out a flashlight, went into my attic. I found my Star Wars DVDs that I bought in like 2004 or something like that, like the box set DVDs and the DVD player, like all of which was in the attic. Pulled it all out, plugged it all in. I was like, we're done with this. As long as we have power, we're just going to watch this whole movie without interruption. And I put in that freaking DVD and we watched the whole thing, and it was amazing. Like, it was just amazing.
That's an awesome story. True nerds get physical media.
That's right.
Yes.
If you don't own physical media, you're a false nerd and you are excommunicated.
I'll tell you what. The best part was, I mean, they literally cheered when he destroyed the Death Star. I mean, it was perfect.
That's awesome.
Like, it all built well, and it landed well. And now they're really excited for the Empire Strikes Back.
That's so phenomenal.
I'm excited for that, too.
But that's the thing about physical media, too. It's like, what if, God forbid, like, the internet goes down for an extended period of time for everyone? In the land of no internets, the physical media guy is king.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, don't get rid of your physical media. Don't throw it out. I'm telling you, it's keep at least what you have. And if you can still buy more, buy more. You know, there's one whole aspect of this we haven't talked about. We got to move on. But there's a whole aspect we haven't talked about, which is video games. We haven't talked about video games. Video games, especially through Steam, are also largely on this model now. You have the same thing with I love just buying and downloading games from on PlayStation Network or on Xbox Live. I don't even know if they call it that anymore. But it's so convenient, right, to not have to go to the store and buy the copy anymore and wait for that thing to be in or whatever. But now you realize, like, you don't really own any of that. Any of that at any moment can be taken away from you. And it's something interesting that we're going to talk about this more next week. Right, Jared? We want to talk a little bit more about the
absolutely.
The Video Game History Foundation.
Yeah, that are preserving and archiving video games. Yeah. So we'll get into that next week, and we'll sort of continue this discussion.
Yeah, we'll continue this discussion next week. But for now, let's move on to our next topic for today, which is continuing our month of tribute to the wonderful David Lynch. We had to put in a little time talking about Twin Peaks, largely letting the callers weigh in on their thoughts on Twin Peaks. Seeing if Skid has anything to say about it. I'm not sure where you stand.
Are you a Twin Peaks fan, Skid?
Yeah, I came to Twin Peaks pretty late. I only watched it for the first time, I think maybe like 10 years ago or something, because like a lot of things, I thought that the big fans of it were really annoying, like back in the day. So I was just like, that's not for me. But then I did finally watch it, and I was just like, this is incredible. And especially Twin Peaks The Return, which, of course, our good friend Matt Lillard has a good part in.
Yes.
I think is the best piece of media produced in this century so far.
Whoa.
Wow.
I'm absolutely blown away by it. And so, yeah, I'm a massive fan of it now. And given that most of season two is very bad, it is still incredible on the whole.
Yeah, no, I love it. And I watched it a couple years ago, and I did watch Twin Peaks The Return. And I think it's incredible that you're like, that's the best piece of media, or one of, in the last that many years, because a lot of Twin Peaks The Return is an inaccessible art film.
Yeah.
That is, I mean, like, there's like episodes that are just a series of images.
Yeah.
With like no dialogue or, you know, a real plot to speak of, but it is sort of beautiful and odd and strange and unique. And it's cool that he was given the creative freedom to create that. I mean, we forget that the original Twin Peaks, that was on network television.
I know. It's crazy.
At like 9 o'clock at night, and it's so weird.
Yeah. It's very, very weird. And but, also, it's like without Twin Peaks, there's no X-Files, which I also loved.
Right.
Like, that's so.
You know what I was thinking? There's no Lost without Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
Because Lost is very much like, so Twin Peaks is a nighttime soap with weird supernatural elements. Lost is sort of a nighttime soap with weird supernatural elements, you know?
What is the primary, and I did not watch Twin Peaks, what is the primary difference artistically between Lost and Twin Peaks? Because I watched a lot of Lost. I liked a lot of Lost until I stopped liking it after a certain point. But like, you know, but I feel like I've watched parts of Twin Peaks, and I feel like it's very different. I agree with you that like, under a larger umbrella, 100%. But like, what do you think artistically are the differences you can point out between the two shows?
Vastly different.
Right?
I was just saying that like the idea that you could do a network show that has these very weird and largely unexplained moments and concepts sort of woven in, was sort of new at the time of Twin Peaks, you know? Even shows that had supernatural elements or sci-fi fantasy elements usually explained to you exactly what was going on. Twin Peaks, it's unclear when you finish it exactly what was going on.
But it feels like it did. You feel, I feel like I feel like I understand it, even
still
if like,
very
I couldn't
satisfying.
Explain it.
Still very satisfying, and there is a mythology that you can kind of like, you know, piece together. And I feel like Lost, you know, is similar in that way. There's sort of this mythology, but you never are told it all at once. And these little unexplained things happen from episode to episode. So that was the only comparison I was making. But Lost, I mean, I really love Lost, but so inferior to Twin Peaks, which is actually David Lynch's artistic vision, at least for season one and then the return. So
and the tail end of season two.
Yeah.
The spirit of bringing this whole thing up is just to again give tribute to David Lynch and his art and his creativity throughout you know, his entire career. And I think a lot of people would say that Twin Peaks is his magnum opus. And I know that a lot of people in our community, you know, really love it. So I'd encourage people to come up and talk about it and just talk about, you know, what you love about Twin Peaks. What are some of your favorite episodes or parts or moments that really stuck with you forever and they really kind of landed with you? We have Fengus here, who I think has something to say on the subject. Fengus, if you'd like to come on up, join us. K Rob says, yeah, it's great.
Sure, it's great. I will tell, while we get our caller, I will tell this very brief story from my wife. My wife was not allowed to watch TV growing up, but she still found out about Twin Peaks. And one day when she went to the bookstore, her dad let her buy a book and she got The Diary of Laura Palmer.
Oh.
And she was like 13.
Oh my God.
And I don't know if you know what happens to Laura Palmer in Twin Peaks, but it's not for 13-year-olds.
No.
And she was like reading it on a field trip and her teacher was like, what is that? And had been watching the show and was like, I'll take that. But I really love that my wife didn't actually watch the show till she and I were together 15 years later. Her entire knowledge of Twin Peaks came from Laura Palmer's diary of being a prostitute at One-Eyed Jack's.
Right.
Jesus. Fengus, trying again. Are you there? Fengus.
Hey, am I here?
Yeah, you're there. What's up, awesome, Fengus?
Fred. Or are you? We're in Twin Peaks. It's unclear.
Yeah, might be the Black Lodge calling in from there.
That's right.
What are your thoughts on Twin Peaks?
Oh, I love Twin Peaks. The first time I watched it was with my mom, who hadn't seen it since 20 years when it was on TV, mm-hmm. and remembered it as a normal murder mystery soap opera. And then at the end of the first episode,
it almost kind of is. It almost kind of is. It has that sort of hook of like getting normies like your mom to go, wait, okay, I could get into like a mystery soap. Sorry,
yeah, she was just driving it to me like, oh, who killed Laura Palmer and stuff. And then we got to like the first time it's the little person in the red room dancing. She was like, what is this? Like, she was so weirded out. It was awesome. But yeah, it's up there. Favorite show, probably. I don't know.
Oh, wow.
So why? Why does it stand out to you as one of your all-time favorites?
It's kind of, it's just got everything. It's got all these amazing actors and characters.
Yes.
You never know what's going on. There's like a cliffhanger.
The cast is unbelievable.
Yeah, the cast is crazy. And like, they're all still great. Like, I don't know. They all went on to have better careers kind of even afterwards. And yeah, it's you can think about it and puzzle it out forever, which I love. And you're never going to get to an answer, but I can accept that, you know.
And weird to me. That is, to me, that's the weirdest part about, you know, this entire genre, if you want to call it that, of this body of work of Lynch's is kind of famous for being like leaving you with more questions than you started with kind of thing. And I do understand how it's fun to get with your friends and debate, right? What was happening here, what this meant or what that meant.
Yeah.
But I also, I guess, you know, it's just my personality. I like things tied up, a little bow perfectly, so that I could, you know, I don't know, Skid, do you enjoy this aspect of these kind of shows where like you're not given answers?
Well, yeah, I think it's like I was saying before, it's you're not given all the answers, which keeps you thinking about it. But it, like I said, it also feels like deep down you have them. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like on some
it's
level,
satisfying.
Yeah. Like I've said before, David Lynch was the master of sort of replicating the experience of having a dream with like dream logic and everything. It's just like the events in a dream, like may not make any sense at all when described to somebody. But like when you're in the dream, it's just like everything feels like they make perfect sense. And that's sort of how it feels watching the show. So, you know, it's the same. It touches me as deeply as a dream would without me like being able to explain like every element that was in the dream.
Hmm. Yeah. And I'll also say, Joe, I mean, I love an ambiguous ending or a sort of mysterious sort of plot where you don't get all the answers, but I think it's hard to pull off. And I think without David Lynch's like incredible style, you know, it doesn't work. You know, there has to be something else at work. You know, it can't just be not giving answers. It's got to be like evoking, like Skid is saying, this sort of feeling of a dream. So not getting the answers still sort of makes sense on some level.
Do you feel like Lynch knew the answers and danced around them in a creative
way? I can tell you that he does not know all the answers, that he sort of makes things up as he goes along. I've definitely read interviews to that effect. And for example, the main demon in the series, Bob, the way Bob is introduced was actually an accident. Mm-hmm. They actually caught the actor, forgive me, I don't remember his name, kind of.
He was like a production guy. He wasn't even.
He was a crew member. Yeah. And they accidentally caught him in a shot in kind of a scary way where he was kind of over in the corner. And David Lynch was like, oh, I'm going to use that. I'm going to weave that into the story and make it more of a thing. So I kind of like that, because that's also a little bit how TTRPGs sometimes play out, where you're kind of like, you kind of go with the happy accidents or what the players are feeding you. And I think that's a really pure form of like a creative way to work, is the way he worked, where, you know, he didn't have all the answers. He didn't have it all outlined out ahead of time.
Let's take another caller. I mean, let's make it three in a row for Verdukai. I'm pretty sure Verdukai's been featured on every episode of Glass Cannon.
Our co-host Verdukai.
It's what's me.
Verdukai, I feel like you mentioned something about Twin Peaks before when we first brought up Lynch back in episode one. I can't remember, though. Are you a big Twin Peaks fan?
I was saying that I had gotten about through the first season and the first half of the second season before I kind of dropped off interest-wise.
I remember
that. And I haven't gone back yet because I got distracted by other things on streaming services. So
there it goes.
Yeah, there you go. So are you going to watch
Tiger King instead?
No, no. No, I was getting mad at Disney Plus and buying things on other streaming services because they started dropping like 20,000 commercials in the shows all of a sudden. I was like, oh, great.
You just have to pay them more money, Verdukai,
exactly,
and then you don't have to look at this.
Right.
It's a very fair model that we all agreed on.
So what you dropped off interest. We've already heard from a few different people that season two struggles a little bit there. What stood out to you about season one?
To me, thinking back to like media from that time period, because I grew up in that time period, it was just so different than everything else that I go back and watch from that, you know, time period. Like I said,
like
that
Jared
one
said,
scene.
It's astounding it was on network television to me.
Yes. Like, yeah. Astounding. There's a lot of it where I'm like, oh, this was on network TV. This is crazy. And the funny thing is, like Twin Peaks in my mind for years and years and years, I kept getting it confused with another show. And I can't remember what it was called now. But
you were
like
our other caller's mom.
Yes. I thought it was
the
like, twin
that's,
show. Where
that's
it was
the
supposed
one with Twin Peaks.
Twins,
that's the one with George Clooney saving lives, right?
No, it was like this guy. It was like
was
a
it
show.
Was it Northern Exposure?
I don't know. It was like they were supposed to be twins, but one was really tall and one's really short. And they
thanks for calling in about a show that you kind of think you might don't remember, Verdukai.
I was hoping to get in on
hey,
the media
Verdukai, is there
thing.
Anything else you don't remember you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, let me tell you this story about Brent Spiner.
oh,
boy.
Here it comes.
Here she comes. No. Hey, if you want to talk about something on media ownership quickly, please. By all
no,
means,
I had
do.
Trivia. Did you know what the very first thing that was streamed was?
No, I do not know this.
No, what is it?
In 1995, it was broadcast through broadcast.com. The very first stream was the Victoria's Secret fashion show.
Oh.
By Mark Cuban.
Guaranteed and, to get viewers.
GE or whoever they partnered up with. So, and I only know that because I ended up working for a company that a bunch of Yahoo.com people worked at, and they worked for broadcast.com before they got by Yahoo. So I was like, oh, I have neat trivia about streaming, but
interesting.
Other than just griping about, you know, like you said, needing to start moving everything to digital and the rising commercial frequency. That's But Twin Peaks
Verdukai,
is great.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
Where can I see that Victoria's Secret fashion show now?
I will drop a link in the Discord. So I was looking it up earlier to verify the date.
Thank you, Verdikai. Good fun fact. I want to go back to Fengus for a second, not on an actual call, but Fengus got dropped before he could finish his point. I really like this. He just wrote in Discord chat and said, at the most basic level, film and television use light and sound to give you an experience. David Lynch is one of the best creators at giving an experience, but that it's just that experience isn't just the telling of a narrative.
Right.
And that's a really, really good way to put it. And very
that's
succinct.
A perfect way to put it. Yeah. I love that.
I appreciate that. Yeah, that's well said. My God, Verdikai really did just post the Victoria's Secret stream in Discord.
I know,
she was
I'm
joking.
Watching it right now. Hubba hubba.
No, I'm watching it right now. Let's bring another caller up here, another friend of the show, Toby. Tolubar, please join us. Toby.
Hello, hello.
Hello there.
Hello,
he is,
Toby.
From across the pond. Do you say across the pond for all of Europe, or does it have to only be UK? If you say
I think that's fair.
Is that fair? Toby, you're in Germany, right?
I am.
Yes.
I'm close enough to the UK, northern Germany. That's just a little leap.
It's a little leap.
You know, call Germany the Rhineland in casual conversation.
Thank you. Finally, someone does it. We need to bring it back.
I'm going to take this opportunity, Toby. We're going to get your thoughts for a second, whether it's ownership or Twin Peaks in a second. But I just want to take a moment to highlight what's coming here in the next half hour and use Toby to kind of back that up. So we have an exciting segment coming up next that you got to be here for, especially if you're in Discord. If you see it on the topic list, you see it's called Beat McD. It's going to be a trivia contest, head-to-head, a caller against McD in a trivia contest. We're going to get to that in a second. But I just wanted to – and the winner, by the way, if you beat McD, you're going to walk away with a fun prize. So we'll talk about that in a minute before we get into, lastly today, our book club, where we're going to talk not only about books that we might happen to be reading or finishing up right now, but we have chosen a book for the Glass Cannon Radio Book Club that if you want to get and read along with us, we're going to read it and we're going to do a whole segment on it in a month. So just like a book
club. We're all going to read it together.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun. So stay tuned for that as well. The reason,
and then when we meet again, we're going to have a lot of callers who just call in and go, you know what, guys, I did. I know we were supposed to, but I didn't read it. Because that's how book clubs work.
Oh, yeah. I fully intend to not finish this book and go to the book club and be like, yeah, I stopped because the acting was terrible. So, Toby, the reason I bring it up while Toby is here is because Toby is an amazing artist and was kind enough to whip up some art for us for Beat McD. So when that topic eventually gets here, you'll see the new artwork this segment. And I just want to highlight the artist. It is our own Toby here who's joining the call. So thank you
so
much for doing that.
Yeah,
Toby.
Thank you, Toby. In the meantime, thoughts on Twin Peaks?
Absolutely. There's a couple of points on Twin Peaks. First of all, I'm shocked that Joe hasn't watched it whatsoever, because
I'm
know
shocked
Joe,
too, Toby. But Joe isn't educated on a lot of things.
He's scared by David Lynch. David Lynch scares him.
Yeah, he says David Lynch is the devil.
I'm legitimately frightened by David Lynch.
When Joe watches a David Lynch movie, he runs to church.
If you are
and
afraid
asks
of
the
David
father
Lynch,
to forgive him.
Watch David Lynch's opinions on depression, and you'll see he's a sweet, sweet man. He was a very sweet man.
Well,
he,
the research I did for this show was so enlightening about like how beloved this guy is, and not just his art, but the man himself. Beloved.
Insightful man. Very, very deep.
Yeah,
soul.
Which I think is really
Joe's
cool.
More of a Michael Bay fan. He's in the Bay Area.
He's
Michael
in the Bay
Area. Very much is the David Lynch of our generation. But
no, please, we keep cutting you off by all
no,
means.
No, all good. All good. No, I'm just surprised because someone else mentioned it in Discord earlier as well, but it's expected viewing for anyone that plays Delta Green with me, really, because especially if you have kind of a comedic twist on Delta Green because you want to lighten the mood a little bit. Twin Peaks really is an excellent sort of stepping stone into the whole experience. With the dreamlike sensation of impossible landscapes, which is what I'm running right now as well, you really want to get some inspiration from David Lynch. And,
yeah, it's literally about an FBI agent going and investigating a supernatural mystery.
There's no Delta Green without Twin Peaks either.
Yeah.
Exactly. And something that Skid might know, because Skid, I think you've lived in Japan for a while, right? Or you've been there for a little bit. But Twin Peaks was huge in Japan to the point where they had a mock funeral for Laura Palmer in Japan.
Yeah.
And there's a... It's crazy. The town they filmed Twin Peaks in, it was swamped by Japanese tourists for a good few years.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Well, and that makes sense because J-horror... You know, Japanese horror definitely loves the ambiguous ending, the sort of like unexplained moments. A lot of like really great Japanese horror kind of follows that same sort of pattern. Really.
There's actually a series of coffee commercials that were filmed in canon within Twin Peaks, and they were filmed or directed by David Lynch, I think. They're all like 15 seconds long, but they do happen canonically within Twin Peaks, which are pretty fun.
Yeah, I've seen clips of that.
Yeah, I would recommend them just to get the full experience, obviously.
X-Files was huge in Japan too when I was at. That's where I started watching X-Files. Yeah. It was like one of the few things that was in English at the video store, so I rented those all on VHS. So
I can't even imagine how like blown away you must have been by X-Files. Like,
oh my God, Japan, yeah.
Bought it, sat down to watch it. A Skid Mar, I can't even believe you just must have been like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Talk about binging. I would literally, because I'd go to the video store, it's just like, I'd go in, like, I'd get the two of the tapes, go home, watch four episodes, like, oh, I gotta watch the rest, and go back and get the next two.
But you know what? Back on the streaming conversation a little bit, I miss the X-Files style of story where you get a done-in-one story,
yes,
usually, but then every once in a while you get a mythology episode that connects to a larger story.
Yeah.
How come nobody does that anymore? Episodic. Why do I have to watch every episode?
Yeah. Well, it's because you don't drop in and out anymore, right? You get all the episodes on your streaming service, so they don't have to rely on episodic storytelling anymore.
But I miss it. Toby,
I do.
I miss
too.
It.
I do too.
I agree. I miss you. I miss us.
And thanks for the call, Toby.
What happened
Thank
to
you
us,
for the
Toby?
Call. That's an interesting point to bring up, is the whole, when did this, what is your memory of this first starting? The like, the actual like episode to episode connected narrative, like a mini series, but
The Sopranos.
Long.
Well, The Sopranos is pretty episodic, but that would be the beginning of like, The Sopranos
Lost,
would be the beginning like, of, like, I think Lost comes out after The Sopranos. The Sopranos, to me, is the beginning of what you call the prestige television, where it's all meant to kind of look like a movie, because TVs and movies looked very different at the time in the late 90s. And The Sopranos really does reward, like, watching every episode, because it did have... like a season plot line that went through it. It's still more episodic than something like maybe Lost or definitely the stuff we have now, like a
well, what about
Squid
like,
Game.
You made me think of HBO, like Oz, The Wire, right?
Connected, right?
Is that at, like but it, they're sort of like seasonally, they have season long arcs. Yes, it's all kind of connected, but seasonally it was like serial. Each one. But I'm curious about when that kind of first came to network television, like broadcast.
The first example that springs to mind for me is a show called Crime Story, which was a Michael Mann produced, very stylish sort of cop show set in the early 60s with Dennis Farina in it, which I've gone back and watched a little bit. It's still pretty good, but it had that like continuity like over the course of the show where it's just like something like, you know, Miami Vice, which was also Michael Mann produced, was much more episodic. There were some sort of elements that like would continue on throughout the show, but for the most part, it was very episodic. But like Crime Story, I remember specifically, like had these long sort of like arcs over multiple episodes.
There is an argument to be made for the serialized story and like, you know, long arcs like that. I mean, there are great shows that do that, but my problem comes in when that's all you get now.
Right,
like,
that's the only.
If
version,
you can do both, that's the sweet spot for me, because I definitely prefer a more serialized like storytelling episode. But yeah, if you can pepper in like X-Files did, like they did it like so well, the Monster of the Week stuff with the mythology stuff, getting them It's like a peanut butter and chocolate.
Yep. I'd like to hear from our producer on this show, our good buddy McD. I think that this would be a great time to have McD weigh in on Twin Peaks. McD's been a long time fan and proponent, I believe, of Twin Peaks. McD, are you there? Can you hear us?
I can hear you.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy. First time, long time.
Yeah, for real. I mean, you've been in the background last 2 weeks on the ones and twos, doing a spectacular job. There's a lot of moving parts on this show, and compared to other things we've done, and you're doing amazing work. Do you have a minute here to talk to us?
Man, no, I got nothing but time. Go ahead. Shoot.
What you got? Good. Did you watch Twin Peaks when it originally aired?
No.
Okay.
No.
Did anybody in your family watch it when it originally aired? Do you recall? Because your family was like, so to give everybody a little bit of background, McD's family was like on to this like cool and weird stuff back then. So like McD's dad was into D&D when nobody's dad in the neighborhood ever heard of D&D, right? Like,
right,
and
cool.
So I'm curious if you if they ever watched this stuff, your parents.
Twin Peaks, not that I remember, man. Mm. My mom kind of controlled the TV at that hour of the day. You know,
yeah,
like my dad was Sunday morning PBS watching Doctor Who kind of viewer.
Yeah
there's something that,
oh,
my
god,
dad never
Doctor
did.
Who. Write it down, we got to do an episode.
Oh yeah, Doctor Who ep. Yeah. Well, what about, so then when did you watch Twin Peaks?
I probably watched Twin Peaks through video rental. I want to say that was a me and Jasandi endeavor. So like college-ish era.
You know, when I was in college in Memphis, Tennessee, there was a video store called Black Lodge Video.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and they, of course, they had a lot of weird cult stuff. But yeah, that's how I watched it too, was like in college on DVD.
Yeah, I mean, I want to say I wasn't like blown away by it when I watched it. And that was kind of how I felt about Lynch in general at that point. You know, like I felt like Mulholland Drive, I didn't love when I first watched it. I was just not in that headspace for. I think I was way
Do
more
Do you feel
into,
differently now?
No,
Do you feel differently
about Mulholland
now?
Drive? Not really, no. Hey, man.
But, yeah, but it's also
well.
Like,
you're wrong because Lynch is a genius.
Not disputing it. Totally a genius. You know, I think the most Lynch thing we watched Dune a lot. My dad really liked Lynch's Dune. I believe we had an SLP VHS that had The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy BBC miniseries and Lynch's Dune on it. So you could just watch one right into the other.
Oh, man.
Whew. Oh, man.
I was just rewatching that recently, too, the BBC series.
It's so good.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Like, better than any other adaptation, I would say.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I like the new one, the most deaf Hitchhiker's Guide.
Yeah, that was pretty good, too, but
I liked that.
I think that the TV show holds up better than most of the other stuff. The cool thing about the Hitchhiker's Guide stuff, just real quick, is that it was actively adapted, most of that stuff, with Douglas Adams' assistance. And they were like adapted as their own sort of standalone products. They weren't just like, this is a version of the book. It's like, we're just going to move the book into this medium. It was just like, this is a show. They'd have new material in them that like Douglas Adams would write specifically for them. It was like, it's great. It's like, there's a lot to mine in like the Hitchhiker's Guide universe.
Well, it was
there's
a radio another play topic first. You got to write down, right?
Yeah, right.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah, like it wasn't even
this
a
segment
novel
is just, oh, that would be a good topic, the segment.
Mm-hmm. I'm an idea guy. Just FYI.
Yeah. Ad Raven in Discord chat says Hitchhiker's Guide episode. Yeah.
Why not? Yep. I mean,
done.
Can we do a Dirk Gently episode as well then?
Oh.
Big fan.
I read Dirk Gently when I was in high school. That was awesome.
The Long Dark Tea Time of the Soul might be the best book title ever.
Yeah.
It's up there.
Yeah.
Did Twin Peaks inspire any of your ideas as you were co-GMing Impossible Landscapes?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Lynch in general, you know, like he was not afraid to just be like weird, and like weird is kind of scary when everything else is a little mundane.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like when it's just like a little off, and it's even, I mean, going back to like the Twilight 2000 one that we did.
Yeah.
You know, just like some of those notes where it's just like, oh, there's a baby crying in the distance.
Yeah.
Ooh, right. Yeah.
It's just like,
no explanation.
No explanation. You know, let your mind figure out, you know what I mean? You paint the picture of why this is upsetting. You know, like, yeah, 100% that. And I mean, really, it's like Lynch, but like it's hard to even like take that away from like X-Files, because like that was, you know, like way more in my like wheelhouse just age-wise when that came out. And X-Files was, and I mean, I don't know if you remember the show, but I believe X-Files where we lived was on like Friday nights at 9.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And the amount
where I lived too.
The amount of X-Files I watched as a 14-year-old. Like sitting at home at 9 o'clock on a Friday night.
I mean, I don't know what teenagers are like now, but when I was 14, you didn't go out on a Friday night. You stayed in and you watched lots of TV.
Oh yeah.
Yep. Indoor kids. Yep.
Yep. McD and I were not in the woods with everyone else smoking weed and drinking beer.
No,
with all the other kids.
We were scared.
That was Miami Vice. Miami Vice had the exact same time slot in a different decade.
Miami Vice had the exact same time slot. That's awesome. Let's take a call here, because we're going to wrap up our discussion here soon, because we got to get into this trivia contest, which I'm very excited about. Drogonath has had their hand raised. Drogonath. If you want to join us, your mic is muted there. If you unmute, we should hear you.
Hi there.
Hey,
hi, Drogonath. Drogonath, thoughts on Twin Peaks?
Yeah, I just have like one quick thing I want to say, because I think that Twin Peaks kind of gets an unfair. I think it gets a little. We can get lost in the weeds too much. Of like, it's just weird for the sake of being weird. And so that, I think that might turn a lot of people off of watching it. I will say that personally, I know a lot of people that watch the show. When you end the third season of Twin Peaks, I think you have a lot more answers than people, I think, give the show credit for. You know, it's a mystery show at the end of the day. And I think if everything kind of got wrapped up in a neat little bow, it wouldn't really have the staying power that it has. But yeah, I just wanted to say there are answers to be had for sure. I think you get the download that you need at certain points during the show.
Cool. Yeah, I agree.
I think that's changed a lot in the last 30 years, where it's just expected that everything is explained to you. Like in media generally, where it's just like, it's okay to not explain stuff.
Yeah.
If Lost taught us anything.
Don't explain anything.
Yeah. That it's okay to not explain stuff, but like Drogonath says, I find that interesting. I hadn't heard that specific take before. It's like, let's not swing the pendulum too far into saying Twin Peaks doesn't give you any information. Like, there are some things that are definitely
right.
Wrapped
it
up.
Gives you definite answers. Like, there is another dimension called the Black Lodge, and demons can get in and out of it and take the forms of other people. You know, very easy to understand concepts like that.
These are just facts. Yeah.
There's a giant that appears to you while you're suffering from a gunshot and gives you three prophecies. Easy to understand genre tropes.
Don't forget the all-telling fairy frog that crawls out of your mouth when you sleep.
God,
I know,
it freaks me out. Thank you, Drogonath, for putting a button on Twin Peaks. these are the kind of things that are just horrifying to me. Skid, I want to thank you so much for being on, man. Thank you for coming by and
thank
hanging
you.
With us. You know, for this,
good to
for
see
this
you,
whole
Skid.
Thing.
Thank you.
It was awesome.
And by the way, I did order the entire Expanse series on Blu-ray as we were sitting here.
There it is.
That's amazing. There's one conversion.
Did you
There's
order it?
One conversion.
Did you order it on
Physical
Amazon
Media?
I did.
Well,
what sucks because it's also not only am I giving money to Jeff Bezos, but it's not going to be here for 3 weeks. So.
Bezos, wow, if you hear this, or if any of the devices you use to monitor all communications hear this, We respect you as the leader of our country, and we do not wish to engage in thought crime. Thank you for your wisdom. Boy, you know, we say Lynch is a genius, but we forget about Bezos.
I know. People always...
JB, that's all, you know.
Yeah.
Pour one out.
Thank you, Skid, man. It was so good to see you.
It's great to have you. Also, real quick, I want to shout out one of Jared and my favorite comedians, Dana Gould, as a new comedy special.
Yes.
It's fucking great. Highly recommend.
It's called Perfectly Normal. Dana Gould. Yeah, we really enjoyed that.
I love Dana Gould. Yeah, it's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks, Skid. You know, and that's another thing that we should definitely get on the old topic list is like, we need to talk a little bit of comedy here, too. Like, let's
sure.
get that in there.
Well,
at some
Dana
point.
Gould would be a good example of a very nerdy comedian who talks about really nerdy stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, he has whole bits about Planet of the Apes and stuff like that. So, we should definitely talk about Dana Gould and some other comedians who do that kind of thing.
All right. On to it, Jared. Let's do it. Let's do it.
All right. Okay. So, welcome to a new and recurring segment here on Glass Cannon Radio, Beat McD, where you, the caller, are going to get a chance. One caller is going to get the chance to compete with McD in a trivia contest to win an incredible prize. And let's see. Well, if you think that you'd like to be involved in this, let me tell you the topic for today's trivia questions, so that you can kind of decide whether you want to raise your hand and weigh in on this and be considered as a potential competitor against McD today. The topic today, in honor of the Expanse, will be solar system trivia. Solar system trivia. I want to warn our viewers, listeners as well. McD is going to defeat you. You're not going to get the prize. This man has been training for weeks. We haven't given him the answers. He doesn't know what we're going to ask.
I've been reading Funkin' Wagnalls.
He's just been reading World Book Encyclopedia. Mm-hmm. He fired up his Encarta Encyclopedia on his CD-ROM drive.
Mm-hmm. Multimedia.
So McD is ready for you, and you will be defeated by his vastly superior intellect. But if you think you know something about the solar system, or you just think it would be fun to try your hand at this trivia contest, please raise your hand now. Maybe say in the chat, I want to beat McD.
I feel like I can beat McD.
I want you to win.
And Joe, why don't you kind of go through what the rules will be while we find our competitor?
I will. You know what? I'm just going to bring somebody up here first to respond here with Scram.
Scram,
can you hear us?
Howdy, folks.
What's up, Scram? Are you ready to take on McD? I'm going to give you the rules here in a second, but...
let's do it.
Awesome. All right. So here's how we're going to set this up. We want this contest to be fair. We want it to be quick and effective and hopefully have a little fun at the same time. So it's going to get structured like this. It's going to be a time-limited question and answer period. Jared is going to ask you questions. You will have 1 minute, and that includes most of the time the asking of the questions, to answer five questions, we said, right? We have five.
And
you'll see how many you can get right out of five. Now, first, Scram, you're going to go, and McD is going to take off his headphones, not have any sound access to the show for that period, and we'll essentially go into our version of a soundproof booth. And then we'll see how many you get right, Scram, and then we'll bring in McD. Now, it's going to be very important, chat, that you guys got to be helping us out with this, too. And that means no writing down anything in chat the answers or what was said. Just let us get through the segment, because it's going to be hard for McD to not see what you're writing. McD, do your best to not look. But everybody try to stay cool on that
regard.
Just to repeat,
do not write your answers into the chat. Do not do that. You'll ruin it.
DMs are
It'll be like you
open.
Took a shit under the Christmas tree.
That's true. You can DM, sure. Go for it.
Yeah.
If you want to DM answers directly to McD, feel free.
Or Scram. Yeah. That's fine.
I'm realizing now there are many ways to foul this up. All right, so here's how it's going to work. After Jared reads the first question, I'm going to start a timer. You'll have 1 minute to answer as many as you can in that amount of time. If you answer, the first thing that you say is your answer, if it's obviously an attempt at the answer. You don't get multiple attempts. If you are correct, you will hear this. If you are incorrect, you will hear this. At that point,
I didn't even know we had that.
I love it.
I just did it this morning, so we're ready to go there. Love I just it. Wanted to keep it quick. You either know you're right or you know you're wrong. We move on to the next question. Jared, you will move on to the next question. We'll see who gets the most right. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it is you, Scram, you will win a $35 gift card to our merch store, digital gift card that we'll send out to you immediately. If McD wins, I don't know what's going to happen. I guess we'll just mock
if you. If McD wins, he wins a $35.
You have to send me $35.
Yeah. Scram, you have
if
to mail
wins, McD. Scram has, yeah, Scram right. has to send I'll McD send my, $35 yeah, in
I'll,
cash.
I'll send you. Oh, yeah. I'll just give him my Venmo. But no, you're right. Cash is better.
Yeah,
I'll give you my mailing address.
I'll give you my mailing address. I can't wait.
And the classy move would be a card to Scram, something nice. I mean, it could be something from Walgreens, but just something that shows that you care.
Yeah, I'd appreciate that.
Hallmark.
If in the event of a tie, we do have a tiebreaker question, so don't worry, we should be fine there. And we'll just go from there. So I think that's about it. At this point, McD, why don't you go ahead, remove your headphones.
McD, go to the soundproof booth. Joe O'Brien.
Plug those ears up.
Yeah, Joe O'Brien, are you timing for us as
I am
well?
I'm timing. I'm going to get my stopwatch ready here. And Scram. The timer will start. You'll get 60 seconds, and it will start as soon as Jared finishes reading the first question. Are you ready, Scram?
I've been nodding my head this whole time, forgetting you can't see me, but yes, I am ready.
Okay.
Scram, excellent. Are you ready to take a journey into the solar system?
I hope I brought my helmet.
Okay.
All right. I'm ready when you're ready, Joe O'Brien.
I am ready whenever you go. You start.
All right. We're going to start with question one, and then the timer will begin, Scram. Question one. What planet is furthest from the sun?
Uranus.
Okay. Question two. What planet boasts the largest mountain in the solar system called Olympus Mons?
Mars?
Question three, what is the hottest planet in our solar system?
Venus.
Question four, what planet is orbited by a moon called Titan?
Jupiter.
And finally, question five, what moon is believed to have a buried ocean with twice as much water as all of the Earth's oceans combined?
Titan?
Yeah. Okay. All right. So we got two there, right? Do I have that?
We got two. We two out of the five. Yeah. All we knew the hottest planet, right? And we knew.
Right.
We knew Olympus Mons.
All right. Before anybody can start typing, let's get McD in here. Let's bring him back on, and we'll do the same round of questions with McDizzle. We'll see if he can.
Should we tell McD what he's got to beat or no? Should we leave it a mystery?
No, this is going to be a tough one. Scram, we're gonna put you just mute your mic for a second on your end, because we want to talk to you at the end here. So hang in there for a second, and we'll come back to you.
Yeah, stay there, Scram.
McD, are you feeling ready, buddy?
Yeah, bud.
All right, I'll start the timer when Jared finishes reading the first question. You'll get 60 seconds whenever you're ready, Jared.
All right, McD, get in the mindset of Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Oh, no.
Because we're going to start the timer. we're going to start the timer with question number one, which is...
Hold on one second. McD, are you muted? Did you mute yourself on stream or anything?
Oh, sorry. Sorry, buddy.
All good.
We're good.
Let us know if you can hear him on Twitch, guys.
Yeah, you should be good.
Okay, great.
Okay,
whenever you're ready, Jared.
All right, here we go. Question number one. What planet is furthest from the sun?
Neptune.
What planet boasts the largest mountain in the solar system called Olympus Mons?
Mars?
Question three, What is the hottest planet in our solar system?
Venus.
Question 4. What planet is orbited by a moon called Titan?
Jupiter.
Saturn. And question 5. What moon is believed to have a buried ocean with twice as much water as all of the Earth's oceans combined?
Is that Io?
Okay.
That is Europa.
It is Europa. Come on, McD. But your 3 was enough for a 3-2 victory.
You win.
You win, McD. Scram, you can unmute yourself here.
Doesn't Pluto have a larger mountain than Mars? I know exoplanet. But I thought there was a crazy mountain on Pluto.
I'm not sure, but it's not considered in the traditional these days planets. But hey, Scram, great work. You came on. First ever beat McD guest. Your answers were snappy. That one about Titan is tough. Both of you guys said Jupiter. Mm-hmm. You kind of
Jupiter
feel like
has the most
Jupiter
moons.
Has the most
it's
moons.
The one that's known for having a lot of moons. I don't know that I would have been able to get these. Joe, do you think you could have gotten these?
I think I would have gotten Europa, and I think that I would also be 50-50 on Titan. I would have been like Jupiter Saturn.
No idea on Uranus though. Just fully didn't think it was Uranus.
Well, I think it could have been 50-52. Like, under pressure, I might have been like, duh! I knew it would be Uranus or Neptune, but I think I would have known Neptune.
That's where I was stuck at.
I would have known Uranus if I would have known Uranus any day. I know Uranus, it's something that I know about.
Scram, thank you so much for participating, dude. That was awesome. Sorry that we couldn't... Sorry, no prize. No, you got to win to get the prize.
I'm going
to
DM Scram my address. Somebody got a prize.
That's right. McD got cold hard cash out of Scram's wallet, which is great. McD, we didn't know how, what this was going to be like, how it was going to go, but you're 1-0. It's a good start.
I want McD to have a run where he's 10-0 before someone's able to topple him.
Yeah, we'll see. Cinderella Man story. Yes.
Totally. Yeah.
We'll see. But yeah, nice job, McD. Let's start wrapping things up here with the book club. We have exciting news on the book club.
Yes. So, maybe we'll talk a little bit about what we're reading right now in a second, Joe, but I think we should announce the book that we have decided we will read for the Glass Cannon Radio book club. And, that book will need to have been read in 1 month. That is when we were going to have the discussion. So
yeah. So what does that put us at? Yeah. What date? I mean, it's going to be the same date, right? March dates are the same. So it would be March 5th.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So, that would be 4 weeks from now. The March 5th show of Glass Cannon Radio. Be prepared. We'll have a whole segment on this book, that we will discuss, Jared. You brought this. Yes. You're like, we should do this.
I don't know if this book is good or not.
No.
But what I do know is that it's relatively short. So it's a low lift for our first book. And the reason I chose it is because it is part of what is, a relatively new genre called a lit RPG. That is a novel with many qualities of a video game or tabletop RPG infused into it. So our first book for Glass Cannon Book Club will be Dungeon Crawler Carl by Matt Dinneman. And when I told you that title, Joe, you were like, that does not sound like something I would want to read.
Nope. As soon as you said it, I was like, that sounds terrible. But it's a book club, right? That's what we're here for, is to experience things we might not have tried otherwise.
Yeah, a book club is designed for you to read books you don't like, Joe. Didn't you know that?
Yeah, I think that's the whole purpose.
It's good. I started it already.
It's good.
Full disclosure. And I was enjoying it.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I'm not very far in, but I was
got
it.
And did not start it specifically because I wanted to have absolutely no first impressions or opinions when we talked about it here. But I'm looking forward to checking it out. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to start it today. I'll start it today and give up on it in about 3 days. And then we'll talk about it in a month.
That's great.
Well, you know, it's great because, you know, there's the TTRPG aspect to it, so we can draw in those kind of things, which, you know, our show is a lot about TTRPGs. So,
yeah.
I really look forward to the discussion, and I'm just happy that other people will have read a book that I've read, so I have someone to talk about books with.
Have you ever
done, like, a traditional book club, Jared?
I have. In fact, over pandemic, I was in a book club where we would talk over Zoom, and it was only sci-fi and fantasy.
Hmm.
And I ended up reading some of the worst books I've ever read.
And did
word
and
of the
you,
wise?
Did you finish
stay
all
away
of them?
From stay away from V.E. Schwab. yes, I did. I did read all of them all the way through. I read a book, Joe, in that book club that was from the point of view, first person narrative from the point of view of a crow during a zombie apocalypse.
Right. Oh my God.
The problem with book clubs is that people are like, wouldn't it be funny if we read this? No, it wouldn't. pick things you know are good. So I just want to let people know, I have heard Dungeon Crawler Carl is super fun. I wouldn't have picked it if it, and I wanted something that was a low lift. I didn't want us to be like, let's read Lonesome Dove. It's only 1,200 pages, you know? So,
all right. Dungeon Crawler Carl by Matt Dinneman. If you're listening to this, watching this now, pick up a copy, check it out with us. And a month from now, we'll come on and we'll take calls on it. We'll all talk about it. It'll be super. McD, you already read it, right?
I already read it. It's still on Kindle Unlimited, right? Kindle Unlimited.
It's on Kindle Unlimited as well.
That's how I got it. Yeah.
Yeah, you can get it for free, kind of, sort of.
I didn't get it. I don't have Unlimited, but I bought it on Kindle. So it was actually kind of hard to find, at least on Amazon. The hard copy was. Yeah.
Well, they don't want you to own it.
Exactly.
You can have a license.
I only have a license to read it. Mm-hmm. Joe, what are you reading right now?
Right now, I'm actually going to put down, in order to read this book, I'm going to put down a historic fiction novel by, I had never heard of this author before. Have you ever heard of Con Iguldin?
No.
I believe that's how you pronounce his name. Con Iguldin, who must be a pretty established historical fiction writer. I hadn't heard of him, but he has several books. This one I noticed when I was visiting London. I just happened to be in a bookstore over Christmas, and I saw this book series about the Wars of the Roses, but it was historical fiction.
Oh, cool.
And I was like, okay, this is something that could be up my alley. You know, I'm a huge Game of Thrones fan, so a kind of Game of Thronesian kind of thing, but without magic and with, you know, some fictional characters, but some real characters, etc. And I am thoroughly enjoying the first book, which is called Stormbird, I think it's called. But it's in a four-part Wars of the Roses series, 1400s, England and France. Really cool characters. Everything from the king to, like, earls to, like, farmers. You have really cool characters at every level. You know, people that are – and how this war – really starts.
Awesome.
It's really interesting. So I've been really
enjoying it. Have you ever read any Bernard Cornwell?
Yeah. So that's why I was reading. I love Bernard Cornwell. He is one of my all-time favorites. And I was reading the Grail series. I was reading the Grail series, loving it. But I just wanted a break from it. And this fast-forwarded time a couple hundred years. And so I was like, this will be fun to check out. And I really, really am enjoying it.
McD, are you reading anything cool?
Yeah. Well, I just finished The Fourth Wing. That was pretty good.
Right on.
And then I'm now rereading. Last night I started rereading. I mentioned it to you, the Arisen series.
Right on. I got the Arisen series. I just haven't cracked it yet.
It's like military zombie fiction.
Yeah.
Basically treats like special forces military people as like superheroes. It's wild. It's like they're basically the Avengers in a zombie apocalypse. And
I'm into it. Fantastic. I'm into military versus zombies. That sounds like so much fun.
Fantastic. It's also Kindle Unlimited. It's terrific. Highly recommend.
Yeah.
Nice. And what are you reading, Jared?
Well, I'm on page 707 of Vanity Fair by William Makepeace Thackeray, written in 1848.
Wow.
It's okay.
Wow. I can't believe you can do 700 pages of It's Okay.
That's amazing. I mean, it was a lot better in the first half, I felt, and then it kind of like I'm 100 pages kind of before it's over, and it's just ending after ending after ending. It's ending so many times.
but you're but wrapping like it up at a nice time here where you can hop
I like a chunky 19th century novel sometimes. And Dungeon Crawler Carl will be a welcome change of pace.
I'd be interested to hear in our book clubs down the line. I'd be interested to hear a top three all-time list from you for like 19th century novels.
Oh, my word. Yeah. Don't get me started because no one will care.
Yeah, I will.
I'm doing it.
I hold your
You're making me excited.
Regard.
I would love to do that.
Great. Well, I think that about wraps her up, buddy.
That does it. We'll be back next week. We'll be talking about the, what is it called? The Video Game Foundation Archive.
Yeah, what is it, McD? This is McD's idea to discuss. What's it called?
It's the Video Game History Foundation.
Video Game History Foundation.
Yeah, and they were in the news last week or this, I guess, early this week by opening up their archive of basically every, like, a high-res scan of basically every video game magazine ever printed.
Yeah, amazing.
Everyone to use for research purposes or just read. And it's fantastic. There's design docs in there. There's promotional materials. It's a lot of like video game ephemera that would just disappear and nobody was taking the trouble to archive these things. And
I can finally get in there and look at the Nintendo Power that'll tell me how to beat Ninja Gaiden 2.
Oh, don't play Ninja Gaiden 2, dude.
What? I gotta finish it, man.
That game. They took their own lessons from Ninja Gaiden and made Ninja Gaiden 2. We're like, it's real dumb. Ugh.
Well, I'm very much so looking forward to getting some video game talk on this show.
Yeah,
so we'll get that too in next week, among other things. Very much so looking forward to it. So,
thank you, McD. Thank you, callers. We'll see you next week.
Bye, everybody. Have a good one.
It's time to make your membership official. Start your 30-day free trial today and become an official member of The Niche at jointhenaish.com with the promo code GCN30. That's jointhenaish.com and use code GCN30 to gain access to exclusive podcasts, ad-free episodes, and content you can't find anywhere else. Once again, it's jointhenaish.com and use code GCN30 at signup to get your first 30 days for free. Tell your friends, come join yourself and see what everybody's talking about when you join the Niche today.